This is Page Turners, the broadcast book club brought to you by Muncie Community Schools on WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and Alexa say, play WMUN. Let's join the story now with your hosts, Cam and TC.
Thank you for joining us today on Page Turners with Cam and TC on the Talk of Muncie, WMUN 92.5 FM, 1340 AM. And Thomas, ooh boy, do I got some news for you.
Ooh, what's that?
We have another returning guest today.
I love a returning guest.
I know. And this one was a good one the first time. And now we get to talk to Christopher Klauser again.
Welcome back, Christopher.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since we've talked to you. What have you been up to?
Yeah, so the last few months I've been busy working on a book.
No!
Yeah.
Shocking! So what is this new book that we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, it's a story. It's called The Unspoken Truths of Casimiro. It's a fantasy book about a wizard who loses his power and goes back to the village where he had his greatest achievement to try to find power, fame, maybe some money, and basically try to rediscover his life.
So. Huh. That sounds like a really resonating story for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I hit the quarter life crisis real hard, so that sounds exactly like what I went through.
Yeah, he's definitely hitting that midlife crisis. He's had some personal struggles, some demons he's got to deal with, and just trying to figure out what to do with a second chance on life, essentially.
Can you tell us where the inspiration for this story came from?
Yeah, so the last time we talked, I kind of talked about this a little bit. The prior book I had published, I had hit the button on it, submitted everything, and thought, okay, I'm going to take a few weeks off, not do anything writing-wise. That night, I had a dream. And I woke up, and I'm like, I got another book I'm going to write. So I went in, well, my whiteboard, and we talked about this last time.
The whiteboard.
Wrote down a couple of notes, went back to bed. The next day started, pumped out about 2,000 words over the next 2 weeks, wrote about 10 chapters, and just started it from there.
So that is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm
came
sorry.
To me in the
I
middle
had to
of the night.
Pick up my jaw from the floor when it's like, oh, yeah, I just pumped out 2,000 pages or words. Yeah, it's fine. No big deal. Because that in and of itself is a feat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the first chapter of the book that's there today is ostensibly basically what I typed that first day.
That's
and
really
it's
cool.
It's always been the first chapter. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things that have been tweaked and changed and altered, but pretty much the same steps that,
gotcha.
That he goes through in that chapter have stayed the same. So
did the whiteboard fill up pretty quick when ideas started flowing?
A little bit. I mean, I tried to, this is kind of an unusual book for me because usually I'm a little bit more of a planner, plotter, and doing things ahead of time. This time I did none of that.
Okay.
So I just basically wrote like the first 10 chapters with those two notes on the whiteboard that I wrote down that first night, which were basically who the character was, his name, and what he was, a wizard that had this problem, and where he was going to be at. Those are the two things I had, and I was like, I'm just going to start writing it. And got about 10 chapters in before I said, okay, I know what I'm doing here with this guy, but how am I going to get to the ending that I want this to have? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started doing some of that work around planning and plotting and figuring out plot points that I needed to hit and things like that. So,
well, and it's nice to hear that you didn't do the same thing that you always do, you know, because I think we talked about your post-it note obsession as well as the whiteboard, right?
Yeah. I typically do something a little different in each project, but I'm always planning somehow. And but this is the first time I haven't really done that.
Gotcha.
So.
And did you find that more freeing, or was it a little bit more difficult because you are kind of a little bit more organized with your other works?
I think because I had such a clear idea going into it, what I was doing, it wasn't as scary as I thought it might be.
Yep.
I could see where if I really didn't have a good clue and I just went in,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it could get get to be a problem real flat, really fast. I'm not that type of person in my real life, let alone when I'm writing. So, and that's kind of where I stopped, was at the point where I thought, okay, if I don't start doing this thing's going to go in the side ditch really quick, and I'm going to have a problem. And I'm like, do I really want to deal with that? So, so I started going through some of my typical procedures and how I lay out things, and kind of figured out, okay, I got to tweak these things here a little bit, but I can get from here to there and do it pretty easily, I think. So it was interesting. I don't know if I want to go through that experience again, but for this book, it was great.
You mentioned that after your last book, you was going to take a little break.
Yep.
And then you had a dream, and here came this book. What's your plans after this book?
So,
or have we already had the dream?
No, there's no dream. So I had a book kind of in mind when I decided to do this one. So I kind of really just pushed that off.
Okay.
And when I got this book done, I said, okay, I'm not going to write anything for a while. And I'll do some planning with that book. I still had to figure out some things, like some of the setting. And I knew it was going to be a much bigger project. It's probably going to be a multi-book project. I don't know how many books yet, but it's, and how much of what I'm writing is going to make it in there. But I thought, okay, I probably won't be writing anything until May or June.
Okay.
I turned out to be a liar. I started writing a couple of weeks ago, and I've got like 20,000 words.
Oh, wow.
It's like, so once I start writing, because I haven't really created anything for like 7 or 8 months. And I think what it is once I start, it's like I can't turn that valve off.
Yeah.
Just because it's been so long. Now, give me about a month and I'll be like, I'm trying to scrape the barrel to get anything out. But right now it's coming pretty quick. And I've done a lot of the pre-work that I normally do with plotting and settings and character building and stuff like that. So I've got a really good idea where I want this to go. So it's more like painting with numbers right now. So.
Gotcha.
So sounds like we'll have you back for a third round.
Maybe. It's going to be a while. I think I'm going to try to get this completely done so I don't have to like try to figure out two books in. Oh, I did this in book one. Now I got to fix this because that's not what I want to do now. I'm going to try to write the whole thing first before I release anything.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And I always like to say it's peaks and valleys. Right. Even with creative stuff, it's peaks and valleys. You get those really productive times and then the times where you're like, oh, man, I got to force myself to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Truthfully, I don't have a lot of that. I mean, which is kind of weird. I was at a writer's event a few weeks ago and somebody asked about writer's block. And I was sitting to two people who had written, they'd just written their first book and released it. And they were talking about how awful it was and everything. And I'm just sitting there thinking, then there are two younger ladies, and I'm sitting there next to them thinking, I'm going to be the awful middle-aged white dude, because my answer was, I really don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want to crush everybody here, but there are times when it happens. More often than not, I'm at a fork in the road, and I just don't know which way I want it to go yet, so... That's usually what my problem is when I'm writing. So,
yeah. Well, it sounds like at least you've got some sort of process as you go through, which is always nice, you know. Sometimes flying by the seat of your pants is great.
Yeah.
I'm really good at that, aren't I, Thomas?
You are.
Really good at that. probably not so much for writing a book. Got to keep myself on the straight and narrow, right?
Alrighty, so don't turn those knobs. Our conversation is going to continue with Christopher after this break. In the meantime, go to our Facebook, go to our Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow, and until then, keep those knobs there. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This is Page Turners, the broadcast book club brought to you by Muncie Community Schools on WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and Alexa, say play WMUN. Let's continue the story now with your hosts, Cam and TC.
Welcome back, everybody, to Page Turners with Cam and TC. And today we've got Chris Clouser with us. We're talking about The Unspoken Truths of Casimiro, which comes out on March 19th, right?
That's correct.
Which is just in time to be added to my TBR list, the monster list.
It's growing and growing.
I got a problem, is what I'm trying to say nicely.
You need a TBR catch-up day. Or catch-up week.
Year. Year. So as we were talking, we were going through your writing process and talking about how, you know, writer's block isn't necessarily, at least from the way that I'm looking at it in our conversation, it's not really a bad thing. You just have a little moment where you just need a little extra mental space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. There's legitimate reasons to have writer's block.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sick, you're going through some mental issues or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that I think are legitimate reasons for writer's block. I think the things that I try to look for are things where it's just me procrastinating, trying to push off doing something that maybe I don't want to do. Maybe it's going to be a difficult scene to write. Maybe I just would rather write something that's got a lot more action and blood and guts and gore or explosions or something, you know. I think the big thing is diagnosing what's causing your problem with the writer's block and then trying to figure out how to get beyond that.
Yeah.
So
now, as you were going through and writing The Unspoken Truths, did you have a chapter that was like really difficult for you to get through to write?
I think the most difficult one was it's kind of a transition chapter because I was really trying to figure out, okay, I've got this block of the book where I've got like the first 10 chapters, but I got a section that I know I want to go through. How do I get from here to there? I try to fill that in because it was kind of like after the first quarter mark, essentially that big call to the adventure point in the book, right?
Yeah.
We're talking fantasy, so it's following a lot of those tropes and stuff. But and how do I get it to that next point that I know I want to build? How do I fill that space? Do I just make that a lot of introspection? Do I work on relationships in the story? Or how am I feeling from A to B? And that's usually my struggle. It's like I can hit the big plot points that you have in most stories, especially fantasy stories, without a lot of problems. It's those filling the gaps between the two and trying to bridge how you get characters from one point to the other.
Yeah. Is that kind of the fork in the road that you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. How do I get them to make those decisions and make it seem like that's the decision that they would make as that character and not make it seem convenient or contrived just to fill the plot?
Gotcha.
So after our listeners read the book, what would you like them to take away from this story?
So I think the big thing is with this story is it's a lot, like I was talking earlier, it's a lot about second chances and he's dealing with a lot of grief in this story from his prior marriage. His wife dies like five years before and he's just never gotten over it. And he carries a lot of grief and guilt around that relationship. And I think it's really just there comes a point in your life where you've got to move to that next thing, whatever it is, whether it's a relationship, the job, living your life. And if you've made mistakes in the past, you don't have to carry those with you. I mean, there's probably consequences to that, but they don't have to dictate who you are going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, you can learn from them. You have consequences to those and you've got to deal with those things, but you can change. And you can change the path of your life after that point. It doesn't have to be defined by that going forward.
I really like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really impactful and powerful because as you get older, I'm not the same person I was when I was 16.
I'm not the same person I was when I was 29. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. You don't ask a lady. However, it's interesting to see more and more authors taking those themes and putting them into books like fantasy novels, because then it gives you your release and a lesson at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things about speculative fiction, fantasy, mm-hmm. science fiction that has really changed in the last 5 to 10 years is really, instead of all these themes being around good and evil and all mm-hmm. these big scope issues, they're a lot more personal in nature. It helps you to relate to the characters a mm-hmm. lot more, and it gives you something you can take from the story to put into your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite line from this book that you've either written, or maybe it's one that didn't make it into the book? That's my favorite, is when they tell me something that isn't in it.
Or it might be written on his whiteboard. Or a post-it.
Or a post-it. Post-it. It's my favorite.
I don't know that I have a specific line that mm-hmm. I really point to. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of pithy little things, I think. And I think writers do this a lot at the starts of chapters, at the ends of chapters, mm-hmm. where they get those little lines that they want to use. And I think there's some of those in here. But I don't know if there's one that stands out.
Gotcha. So. Yeah. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, because mm-hmm. that means that you like all of them.
Yeah. I think the book's really good. I talk about it takes a lot of those standard fantasy tropes and story mm-hmm. types and kind of turns them a little bit. But it's also kind of like the quintessential story that I would write. It's very fantasy based. It has a nice character arc. It's got a little bit of a romantic arc in it. There's a mm-hmm. mystery arc in it. And those are all things that I try to put in almost every story I do. Mm-hmm. So it's almost not like it's not just a quintessential fantasy story. It's a quintessential Chris Clouser story, I think, in a lot of ways.
Well, and so. I like your writing because it feels realistic. Even though we're talking about like a fantasy, it still feels mm-hmm. grounded and realistic.
Yeah, I definitely try to keep it that way. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to, solve the problems of colonialism or something like that in this story. I mean, there's another other people doing that I don't want to go down that path.
Yeah, so. I don't blame you.
So we've been chatting it up about your book. Could you tell us what you're currently reading or what's on your TBR list?
Yeah, so right now I'm going through and reading Warbreaker by Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, yes.
I've read it again. I've read it before, but I'm trying to go through it. I'm reading a little bit of Shakespeare right now, the tragedies. It's kind of some background for the book I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And then I just bought a book last night by Eliza Chan called Fathom Folk.
Okay.
That's looks really interesting from the back cover, I can gather there's a society that's split. Like, the rich people are living above the water level and the poor are living below the water level.
Oh.
So it's got some interesting ideas, I think, in it. So that's probably the next thing I'm going to be reading.
Yeah. And that sounds really interesting. So I'm going to have to add that one to my list. Oh, no, the Excel. So we have just a couple minutes left. Where can everybody find your book? Either pre-order it or just go and get it after March 19th.
Yeah, it's up on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely pre-order it through there if you're a Kindle enthusiast. Also, go through Draft to Digital, which goes out to several like Kobo and Barnes & Noble and places like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of venues that you can get it from. But Draft the Digital's got its own site as well, and it'll direct you out to whatever your reader of choice would be. So, but yeah, Amazon, and it's probably the biggest place that most people are going to go.
Yeah, and I'm sure locally Keely will get some from Ink Drinkers.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's the plan. I got to get to her after I get through this initial push.
Yeah.
So I got to get back to her place. So.
Yeah, of course. She's our go-to around here.
Yeah, she's an incredible story.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us again on Page Turners. That's all the time that we have for today. So everybody, go find us on Facebook or Instagram. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Join us again next week for another chapter of Page Turners, the Broadcasting Book Club with Cam and TC, sponsored by Muncie Community Schools on the Talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM. We'll see you next week.